always tries to roll over my bones. And sorrow comes to steal the joy I have. And brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. You no longer has a place to hide. Not a captive to lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, there's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name, power in your name. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Nowhere, 'cause I'm standing. Chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, I'm standing in your love. I'm standing.
God, we thank you for everything that you're doing for us in our lives today and what you're doing in the world. Even when we're stuck in darkness, when we're stuck in fear, that you bury us out of that and that you brought your son to the earth so that he could die for us to save us from that fear, that shame. And so whatever we're dealing with today, that we can take that and give it to you, God. And that we know by that we will follow you because you walk with us, God. So we're going to sing about that today.
When the sea is calm and all is right, when I feel your favor flood my life, even in the good, I'll follow you. Even in the good, I'll follow you. When the boat is tossed upon the waves, when I wonder if you'll keep me safe, even in the storms, I'll follow you. Even in the storms, I'll follow you. And I believe everything that you say you are. And I believe and I have seen your unchanging heart, in the good things and in the hardest part. I believe and I will follow you. I believe and I will follow you. When I see the wicked prospering, when I feel I have no voice to sing, even in the wants I follow you. Even in the wants I follow you. And I believe everything that you say you are. And I believe and I have seen your unchanging heart, in the good things and in the hardest part. I believe and I will follow you. I believe and I will follow you. When I find myself so far from home, and you lead me somewhere that I don't want to go, even in my death I'll follow you. Yes, even in my death I'll follow you. And when I've come to end this race I run, and I receive the prize that Christ has won, yes, I will be with you in paradise. Oh, I will be with you in paradise. Oh, and I believe everything that you say you are. And I believe and I have seen your unchanging heart, in the good things and in the hardest part. I believe and I will follow you. Yes, I believe and I will follow you. And I believe everything that you say you are. And I believe and I have seen your unchanging heart, in the good things and in the hardest part. I believe and I will follow you. Yes, I believe and I will follow you.
Morning again. It's great to be with you. A special welcome to anyone joining us for the first time on site or online. It's great to have you with us. This is the moment where we get to dig into God's Word a little bit, reflect on it a little bit more, and it is our prayer that God touches you right now. So let's actually call on His name. Please pray with me. Jesus, thank you for your heart that took you to this world for us, that took you to the cross for us, that took you out of an empty tomb for us, and now you're seated at the right hand of God for us. Touch our hearts today by your word, by your spirit, so that we can believe in your promises and your word and bring that same comfort that you bring to us, to bring that to others in this world. We pray this in your name. Amen. So we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 6 mainly today, verses 17 and 18. But coming into that, we're going to be going to a few different places first. But we're talking about comfort today. And why should we talk about comfort? Haven't we hit that word enough the last 2 weeks when we're talking about God's blessing? Isn't that a comfort to us? And God's presence, is not that a comfort to us? I believe it is. But I also know how human I am and what my memory is. Who here remembers the sermon from last week? Huh? Eh? Yeah, I know, because I don't remember it either. That's why we read it now. And God knows. God knows my heart. He knows your heart too. And there are truths that he wants you to know, which is why we gather again, to have God meet with you, to deliver the goods to you all over again. And so what do we need comfort for? I'm kind of take your pick, right? Your past and anything that's coming along with you into God's presence today with that. The present, anything that's freaking you out right now, anything that fills you with anxiety, makes you anxious. Maybe it's pandemic. Maybe it's not pandemic. Maybe it's something going on in your family or with your neighbors or who knows, or at work, or maybe you don't have work and that's what's stressing you out so much right now. There's a lot to overwhelm you in the moment. And so we need comfort for the present and the future. The future. Oh, who knows what's going to happen at school for this fall, let alone what's going to happen, you know, maybe tomorrow. I mean, who knows? God knows. And so he's got a word of comfort for you about the future, too. And think back towards the beginning of the pandemic when we were all sheltering in place, about mid-March, maybe the second half of March. What did we all start doing other than binge-watching TV and eating a lot? Hopefully, how many of you started walking more than you used to? Or exercising, walking primarily, right? Yeah. And so we started walking. How many of you have pets and took your dog on a walk more than they were probably used to? Right? Sometimes we can overdo it. Sometimes we can overdo it, and people need to comfort themselves from our best efforts, right? So, but the good news is that God can never overdo it. We always need his constant word of comfort for us, which brings us to the message today. For our past, for our present, for our future, God has a word of comfort for you. And there are four things I want to share with you about that. Four things that God does for you. He walks with you. He speaks to you. He redeems you. And he will return for you. Four truths from God we want to look at today. But the first, God walks with you. Now, God walking with people is not a new thing. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. We see just after the first man and woman, the first of humanity fell. Think about that for a second, right? Adam and Eve are the ones who ruined it for anyone. All of you who like to give yourself a good guilt trip, what if you were Adam and Eve and had to live with that truth the rest of your life? That would be hard. And so God was walking with them, as we see. God, they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, almost like they knew. They knew what God was going to do, like he walks with them on a regular basis. And so they knew the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they knew that things were not right anymore. And so they hid. They tried to take care of their sin and their shame and their guilt on their own, and they couldn't. God called out for them, not because he couldn't find them, because he knew something was wrong. And he was calling, he wanted to tell them in the most gracious way, I know. I know. And so God found different ways to walk with his people. And here's the word of comfort in this. God continues with you along the way. just like God continued to walk with Adam and Eve, maybe not like he did before, but he still did not abandon them. He still didn't leave them to their own devices. He walked with them. He gave them a promise. Even as he was announcing a curse to them, the consequences of sin, and now we know death in this world, God gave them a promise too. So God continues to walk with his people. And God does a lot all at once. He walks with you, and as he's walking, he speaks to you. God speaks to you. And we see this in a story in Numbers chapter 23, the story of a prophet called Balaam and a king that was hiring the prophet's services, a king named Balak. And God knows the king by name. He knows the family he's a part of. He knows Balaam. And Balaam is this prophet. Sometimes we pronounce his name Balaam, right, if we're going to be American about it. But in Hebrew, it's Balaam. And so the prophet was hired by this king to pronounce a curse from God against God's people. Now, if you ask me, that doesn't seem very wise. You're hiring a prophet to have God curse his own people. That doesn't sound like that's going to work out well, but Balak gave it his best shot, and so Balaam was hired, and this is what Balaam says as he, instead of cursing God's people, pronounces a blessing. So there is no amount of money that could shift God to do something else. Right? Nothing was going to sway God from being present for his people. And this is just 19 of verse 23. This is what it says. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. Right? So money, power, influence, that is not something that is going to sway God. Right? He doesn't lie. And this directly feeds into Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. This is the heart of our message today. Verse 18 talks about two unchangeable things. And I want to read a bit from verse 17 to kind of build into this. So when God desired to show more convincingly, this is talking about God and his relationship with Abraham, another character from a real live person from the Old Testament. So when God desired to show more convincingly the heirs of the promise, the unchangeable character of his purpose. So heirs of the promise, that's a promise God made to Abraham that he would make him and his descendants as numerous as the sands on the seashore, and that God would be with him. This is God's purpose through Abraham, a covenant he made to him. So God's purpose, he wanted to show more convincingly the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose. So there's a promise of God's purpose, and God wanted to show things more convincingly. As if God's promise weren't enough, he knows humans, he knows we need a reminder, we need some assurance that this is true. And so God makes an oath. He guaranteed it with an oath at the end of verse 17, and now to verse 18, so that by two unchangeable things, his purpose and his oath, his promise and his oath. God's purpose through Abraham to bless the nations. His promise to be with them. And so this oath that he makes to Abraham, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. That word impossible there in the first part of verse 18, I'm going to Greek out on you a little bit. So the word is adunaton in Greek there, and that's translated as impossible, but more literally it means no power. So dunaton is that word that in English becomes dynamite, right? Power, like all the power. Adunaton means no power. There is no power in thinking that God lies, right? It's impossible for God to lie. God guarantees himself with a promise and an oath to Abraham and through faith to you. And so God has a word of comfort to you from Abraham, through Abraham, through the faith that Abraham had, that is for you. you're inheritors of that blessing. You're part of the nations that were going to be blessed because of Abraham and the faith that he had. And so by the faith given you, as Jesus explains also in John, you are heirs of Abraham and heirs of his promise, heirs of that covenant. And so this comfort from God because of his purpose, promise, his oath, there's truth there that engenders, that breeds trust. Trust. God's truth, his promise to you gives you trust, gives you assurance, gives you confidence in what he says. There's something about trust. Craig Groeschel, who's a bit of a leadership expert, he says this about trust, that now, as you teach kids about trust, right, if they break your trust, what do they have to do? They have to earn your trust back, right? Craig actually says something different. He says, we're pretty generous with trust. Mistrust is earned. Mistrust is earned. And if you think about that, that's true. We're pretty, in general, we start to trust people generally, but it's when things don't seem right. When something seems off, when everything's not adding up, then mistrust starts to happen, right? And you know something's up. So we earn mistrust. Has God earned mistrust from you in keeping his word for over 1,500 years, for over 15,000 or 1,500 years, for over 6,000 years from the time of Jesus until now, and going back further from the time of Abraham to Jesus, and then even before Abraham, and however long that is, has God earned mistrust? No, he's kept his word from generation to generation. We can trust God. We can have assurance from God. We can have confidence with God that he is for you. Sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes we still don't trust God, and we take things in our own hands, just like our predecessors, just like our ancestors, and we go our own way. So what then? When we break trust with God, when we rebel against God, when our past and our present and our future and all the details and all those things are so overwhelming, when sin and death are just fracture us, what then? God redeems you. Go to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 5. We see and we read these words. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 5 says this. We can get those slides up. There we go. Thank you. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So Jesus, the one who authored the law of God, the law that we break, the law that condemns you, Jesus put himself under that law for you. And then he suffered for you. He died for you on the cross. And 3 days later, he rose again for you so that you might receive adoption as sons, to redeem you out from under the law. So the only thing that the law has power to do now is to condemn you. Jesus says, not anymore. You are not under law. You are under grace. You are under the grace I bought for you on the cross to redeem you, to make you right before God again, and so that we might have a chance to share that redemption, to share that grace, to share that forgiveness with somebody else that needs it. Do you know someone in your life, in your work, in your family, maybe in your home, or sharing a seat with you in church today that needs grace, that needs forgiveness, that needs to know that Jesus has redeemed them? He gives that grace by faith. God has another word for you as well. God doesn't just redeem you and then say, okay, go live. He has a promise for you as well, a comfort for you throughout this life that God will return for you. God will return for you. Matthew chapter 4, verse 35. Jesus says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. My words will never pass away. Everything that we know and love may change. Everything that we're confident will always endure. The skies above us and the ground beneath our feet. Even that someday will end. But God's word will never pass away. The word for you that he gives today is that you are forgiven. You are loved. You have a God who is present with you declaring these truths. A God that is present with you through every trial, no matter what screams at you from your past, no matter what is demanding your attention in the present, no matter what is overwhelming you about details of the future, God is here with you, for you, walking with you, speaking to you, redeeming you, giving you that promise that he will return for you. And that's God's truth for us in this moment. And it's our prayer that these truths from God will bring you comfort, will bring you hope and confidence to face anything that today and whatever the days ahead may bring. In his name, amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your love for us, in which you faced every dark thing we have ever done that we will ever do. Thank you for the truth that you make known to us over and over again, despite our memory lapse, despite our rebellion, despite whatever else we do to try and separate ourselves from you. Lord, you faithfully come after us to remind us once again who you are and who we are because of you. So Jesus, forgive us for the times that we turn away. Forgive us for the times that we pull away from you. Forgive us for the ways that we turn on each other. Give us the grace that we need to be restored to your family. But Lord, as you fill us with that grace, fill us again to make those truths known to people around us. Lord, the people that need to hear it and know it and see it. Help us to look for those opportunities to declare these truths to them. To act, to behave in ways that are consistent with people who have been forgiven, who have you, who walk with them throughout our day. As you speak to us, as you continually remind us of how you redeem us and how you return for us. God, thank you for the truths that you make known, that bring us comfort, that bring us hope, that change how we look at a day, that change how we look at a situation, instead of one of being overcome with fear to being one that is an opportunity for faith. Help us to believe. And as you teach us to believe, teach us to lift up others in our midst, people who are hurting, people who are suffering, people who need you to heal them, to restore them, restore their families, restore work to them, restore shelter to them. God, use us to help make that happen. Lord, we're your church. As your church, keep raising up new leaders. Keep raising up the next generation to know you, to love you, to follow you. And we give you thanks, Lord, for the teachers, the pastors, the parents, the mentors that work so hard throughout all of our lives. Help us to listen to those voices you put in our lives that coach us along the way. Help us to use our voices to coach someone else. And Lord, as you call us into a moment to hear you, to believe you, to receive comfort from you, God, teach us to call on your name. Teach us to pray. The words will be on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So God comes to you in this moment to hear your prayers, to answer your prayers with his word, his promises, his love for you in Jesus. He does call our sin what it is. And by the confession we had in our prayer, he does forgive you your sins. He invites you to receive that forgiveness in a special way. In his body and his blood, when his body and his blood come with the word and are joined with the bread and the wine, God makes this forgiveness known to you in a very special way. As we move into this time where God meets with us in this special way, if some of you did not receive a fellowship cup that contains juice and bread, I invite you to raise your hand and one of our first impressions team will come around. See that hand right there? Anybody else? And for those of you who are online right now, as we celebrate Christ coming to us in body and blood with the bread and the wine, we invite you to remember and to celebrate how God is coming to you through the word and through the spirit, and to meditate on the words that you hear and give thanks to God for what he's doing for you. So if you open the first layer there, it's just open, the bread, the wine is still covered. Or the juice is still covered. We remember the moment Jesus took with his disciples on the night when he was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you, to bring you forgiveness for your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Blood of Christ for you. So I invite you now all to take and eat the body of Christ for you. And now take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. People, you are loved by God. He has met you here through his word, through his body and his blood to give you forgiveness, life, salvation, all you need to receive his comfort and to remain strong in faith until the day he returns. And having received all these good gifts from God, let's raise our voices and our hearts one more time. So if you're here, mask up. And let's sing.
And I search the world, empty praise and treasures of faith are never enough. desire is now satisfied.
Well, thanks to our praise team for leading us into God's presence today, filling us with that truth that there's nothing like Jesus. There's nothing like the comfort that he brings you to guide you through this day, this week, the rest of your days. May you go in the comfort of God, knowing he's with you. Amen. Thank you. Go in peace.